Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid.
You can always go find a clover patch, get down on all fours, and find one with four leaves. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get any ticks.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Green,
pro football full circle.
Herbert fires open, making the grab. Mike Williams down the sideline. High steps his way in for the touchdown. What a game this is. That's 53 yards. Mike Williams, big play Mike, who hasn't had a touchdown in over a month.
Oh, week number 11 is in the books. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 159, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz taking you around the league of the NFL. Great action yesterday and throughout the week. I mean, dynamic performances. Jonathan Taylor, 5 rushing touchdowns on the afternoon in the Colts rout as a 7-point underdog against the Buffalo Bills. We saw Pat Mahomes and Kansas City step up. They were 2.5-point favorites, defeated the Dallas Cowboys in dominating fashion by 10 points, 19-9. But the game of the day, in my opinion, George, was the Sunday night thriller with Justin Herbert and the LA Chargers. They opened up as a 5.5-point favorite, bet up to 6.5 before game time. They had a 14-point fourth quarter lead. Justin Herbert became the first quarterback to throw for 350 yards plus, also rush for over 90 in a dynamic wild one. 41-37, the Chargers get the victory in come from behind fashion against Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, the Chargers, they tried the Charger. They tried to give that game away last night. Amazing. How that went there. You get that punt blocked. All of a sudden, you get balls thrown off players' heads that could pretty much go up so high you could do a fair catch out of it. But it was a wild game. It was fun to watch, especially in the second half. Good game. Fun game. I got to tell you, not surprised the Chargers could score that much. I am surprised Pittsburgh could. I didn't think Pittsburgh could score that many points in two games. How do you only score 16 against Detroit and he scored 37 in a loss to Chargers? Love the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing was that, in the second half, Pittsburgh didn't make adjustments. Cam Hayward really changed the complexity of the second half in terms of the batted ball. Justin Herbert was playing lights out for basically three quarters. And in the last, 3 minutes of the ball game, right around the 4-minute mark, everything started to change. Pittsburgh did have a 3-point lead. It looked like Mike Tomlin and the crew would pull away. But then Herbert, he settled down, a blown coverage. Mike Williams down down the left sidelines, scores, and then all of a sudden Big Ben turned into Big Ben Roethlisberger when the game was on the line, right? He held the ball too much. He had a 3rd and 29, couldn't get it done, and L.A. does escape with a 4-point victory, does not get the cover. When you looked at in the second half, like, they were just going to run away with it. The over 47.5 was basically never in doubt, and if you were on the side of L.A., it looked like you were going to cash a ticket last night, let alone almost lose the ball game outright.
Yeah, you're probably pretty frustrated if you had the Chargers last night. It was 5.5. They only won by 4. And at one point, I think they were up by 17. Remember, 14 in the fourth quarter, but I believe they had a 27-10 lead at one point. So, yeah, you're not happy. You're certainly not happy about that. As soon as they blocked that punt, you knew that was going to be it. And then the interception off the Hayward's helmet. Hayward, by the way, probably should have been thrown out of the game for what he did to Herbert. Lucky to be playing there. He acted like he didn't do anything. I always love that with players. I didn't do anything. No, he didn't do anything at all. They tried to explain it to him. Well, it just looked worse on TV. Sure it did. Sure it did. So that was a strange play that he got involved in. But he was a force in the game. He was a force, which is hard to say for a defensive player when you give up 41 points, but he was a force and almost helped them come back here. Najee Harris also left the game for a bit, but he also returned late. So good game. I guess that if you have a steal, you feel better than you did last week over that, you know, that brutal 16 tie with Detroit. But, yeah, it was a game where you probably thought you lost, and then you thought you could win it, and then you ended up losing again. It's almost like being, you know, shot twice.
Yeah, a couple of other games that really stood out to me was Lamar Jackson did not play yesterday on the road in Soldier Field. It was Huntley that did get the start. They all of a sudden pounded the Chicago Bears right before game time. Saturday night, that line was basically 5, 5.5. They knocked it down to Baltimore being a 1-point favorite. They escape 16-13. And on the flip side of Minnesota, they stepped up, get a last-second field goal to defeat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook stepped up. You talk about Rodgers, a dynamic performance, 380-plus through the air, 4 touchdowns. Devontae Adams, 2 key receptions for touchdowns as well. But Minnesota now, back-to-back wins over the Chargers and Green Bay. Just maybe this team is hitting stride.
Agreed. Agreed. I mean, I think you and I are both on board here. But they're a good team that suffered some brutal losses in the first 10 games of the season. They certainly should have a better record than they do. You know, like I said, they gave away some games here. You and I both put that blame on Zimmer more than the players. I mean, I'm not saying they should have won every game, but their 5 losses are by 18 points. You know, you got to pull out some of those. They could easily be, you know, a game behind Green Bay or even tied with Green Bay. So I think they're a playoff team. I think they're a very dangerous team when Thielen and Jefferson get going. You know, Jefferson has the most 15-yard reception since 2020 in the NFL. The man is dangerous. Now, he's got some growing up to do. I don't know if you saw that. I think it was the first touchdown, or what should have been the first touchdown in Minnesota, where he was celebrating before he got in the end zone. And it ended up being where they called him down at the one. It looks like to be the right call there. But he was celebrating early. And then that the Green Bay defender came up and tackled him. Can't do that. You know, if you wouldn't have got a touchdown there, this would have been made a huge sting of. But they ended up did scoring a couple of plays later there. I think it was Dalvin Cook who got in instead of Jefferson. So can't do that. This is a dangerous, dangerous team, Joe.
Yep, I agree. And when we come back, we'll take a look at some more recaps. Miami over the Jets, Philadelphia over New Orleans. Also take a look at the Week 12 action, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, recapping the action from week number 11. A lot of dynamic games. Upset City across the board for some of these games. We touched on in the intro Jonathan Taylor and the Indianapolis Colts. We'll get into that game a little bit later. Dynamic performance as an underdog. How about Houston? We're going to touch on Tennessee's loss as well. Are there bigger concerns for Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans without Derrick Henry? But there was a ball game in New York. Joe Flacco Flacco got the start yesterday. They were 3.5-point dogs for the New York Jets. Brian Flores and the Dolphins did have a few extra days of preparation. Tua stepped up with a 273-yard performance, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. That defense made some plays in the fourth quarter. Miami, George, escapes with a 7-point win and cover on the road. And don't look now, the Dolphins do have 4 wins. They're 4-7 overall. Schedule lightens up a bit. Potentially, we're looking at a playoff wild card contender. I know Scott Wetzel had mentioned it. We had discussed it as well as the season progressed that, you know, maybe Miami could come into form due to the schedules sort of easing after week number 11.
Both conferences are a quagmire. Any team that can go on a 4 or 5 game winning streak, go win 5 out of 6, something like that. You're right. I don't care what your record is. You're right there in it. So, yeah, I think it's unlikely Miami gets in, but they've got a shot. They're playing better ball. For whatever reason, it just took them a while to get into the season. I don't know why that is, you know, but it took them a while to get into the season. Maybe it was the injury to Tua. Maybe it was whatever else is going on there. But they didn't show up in September, right? And that's really what the problem was there. So do I think they have a shot? I do. Once again, this is their schedule. This is the Miami Dolphins. They play Carolina this week. Then the Giants, then the Jets, then they're at New Orleans. All right, if they can pull off 3 out of 4 here, and there's a chance they can win all 4 of those games, by the way. There are no world beaters there. But if they can pull off just 3 out of 4, those last 2 games of the season, Tennessee and New England, could be mammoth games for them to get back, to get in here. I mean, absolutely mammoth games here. So, yeah, the Dolphins got a shot. It looks improbable, but they've got a shot. Yeah, I'm on board with the Dolphins possibly getting in.
Yeah, I mean, again, granted, back-to-back wins, and they lost 2 tough, very tough ball games to Jacksonville and Atlanta on last-second field goals. This team seems to be playing with confidence. Biggest thing is that Myles Gaskin was able to pound the rock yesterday, 89 rushing yards as a team. They pounded it for 115 yards against that front seven of New York. But if they can run the football, take some pressure off of Tua, stay in manageable third-down situations for the rest of the year, that's the recipe to win ball games, because we know they have the type of defense to create pressure and, more importantly, force turnovers. And that's half the battle right there, especially when you go on the road in late December or in a playoff type of environment. That's what you need. So they do have 1 victory over New England. Granted, it was week 1. That was prior to this dominance of the New England Patriots over basically the last month and a half. But you know what? If they can find their stride, you never know. The game is in Miami, so we'll see how it plays out for Brian Flores and the Miami Dolphins right now, but looking good after a very slow start. The other team was Philadelphia, and you called it last week. You said Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts will be a playoff contender. They were a 2-point favorite yesterday over Trevor Siemian in New Orleans. They stepped up. Jalen Hurts with 2 rushing touchdowns on the afternoon. That defense, though, stepped up, forced some turnovers against the Saints, and don't look now, but Philly's coming into form in late November.
Well, I think Philly's a playoff team. It's saying it for a couple of weeks now. It's not so much that I think they're a great team on the field. I think they're a solid team on the field. Hurts is playing better. It's amazing. Amazing how much better this offense has been since they started to run the football. All right, for whatever it is, they ignored the run. Sirianni after the first, month of the season, give or take there. Sanders goes down. Oh, yeah, we'll run the ball now. And the offense is taking off. Saints have a good defense, and the Philadelphia Eagles ran all over them yesterday. All right, Eagles. Now, listen, the Eagles are in a much better place than the Dolphins. Much better place. They're 5-6, which really puts them about a half game out of a playoff spot as it is right now. They're battling with a bunch of teams. The Vikings, we mentioned. New Orleans again here, but they got the tiebreaker over New Orleans. Carolina, they have the tiebreaker over Carolina. Man, they beat those two teams. So they're really not worried about the Saints and Carolina. What they're worried about is more San Fran, Minnesota. You know, well, one of those teams is probably not going to get in. That's what the Philadelphia has to worry about here. And once again, you just look at the schedule here. They play nobody. There's nobody on their schedule that they can't beat, with the exception of maybe Dallas, but that game is the last game of the season. It might mean nothing to the Cowboys. They got the New York, 3 out of 4, next 4 games, they're playing the New York teams. At Giants, at Jets, then they have a bye, then they play a Washington football team, Giants again, Washington football team again, Cowboys. You're telling me they can't go for 5-1 there? I mean, that's 10 wins right there. That gets you in. You go 5-1, you get in here. So I think the Eagles, and you go 4-2, by the way, you might get in. 9 wins might get you in. So I think the Eagles are a playoff team. Listen, I'm just looking at schedule here. They're playing poor teams. They got their hardest part of the schedule over in the beginning. Now, they do lose a tiebreaker to San Fran, by the way. So that could hurt there. If I think Minnesota gets in either way, so it comes down to a tie record with Philadelphia and San Fran, yeah, they lose that tiebreaker, they won't get in. And keep in mind, I'm assuming Dallas, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Rams, and Cardinals, they all get in above them.
Well, I mean, they're already three-point favorites for next Sunday's game against the Giants. Total set on FanDuel at 46.5. The biggest thing in terms of Philadelphia's offense, we talked about Jalen Hurts. He had three touchdowns on the ground with 69 yards, a pedestrian 147 through the air. But if you can't shut him down and you can't hold him and contain him in the pocket, he is lethal on the perimeter. Miles Sanders returned 16 carries, 94 yards. You saw Jordan Howard add 10 for 63. I mean, this was one of the top rush defenses in all of the NFL. And to allow 40-plus points to that Philadelphia offense says, a tale of two teams. Shows the consistency of the offensive line and the progression of Jalen Hurts, because we've seen him put up points and numbers now against solid defenses. Did it a few weeks ago against Denver on the road. So this team is hitting stride. On the flip side, you have a New Orleans team that is basically handcuffed. Without Alvin Kamara, they're a one-dimensional offense. Mark Ingram's good. He's not elite anymore. He's not the Heisman Trophy winner from his days in Tuscaloosa. They have no really sniff of a running game. And Trevor Siemian, I mean, he's just a pedestrian quarterback. Do we bet against this team the rest of the way? Because they have a tough battle this coming week against Buffalo, already 4.5-point dogs on Thursday night.
Listen, I think Sean Payton's done a pretty good job with a lack of weapons there. All right? I mean, this team only had two weapons really coming into the season, and one hasn't played all year. Right? And now Alvin Kamara's been banged up. I think he's done a remarkable job with that. I think now they're paying for it. Look, once again, look at their schedule. It's brutal. So to answer your question, yes, I think we do. They got Buffalo on Thanksgiving night. Then they have Dallas a week from Thursday. You do get the Jets there. Congratulations. Then you got Tampa, Miami, Carolina, which will likely be a battle for a playoff spot. That last game in Atlanta probably means nothing for either team. So, yeah, I think it's over. All over but the crying for New Orleans. I think they gave it one hell of a run. But now, I mean, what are they, 5-5 now? Does it shock you if they lose three of the next four, four of the next five, five of the next six? No. There are no easy games. In all these games, they're going to have to score points. Buffalo, regardless of how they're playing, we know they can score points. Dallas can score points. Tampa can score points. I mean, they got to score points here, and I just don't think they can keep up with these teams. And if we're seeing the defense start to wilt now because, once again, too much pressure on them, oh, then it's all over. It's all over with the crying. You're going to see a lot of blowouts coming.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just remember, their preseason win total was 9. And that was when we thought Michael Thomas was in the lineup. We thought that the quarterback situation would be, pedestrian with both Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. Now Winston's gone. Hill has been not implemented the way or been utilized the way many thought. I mean, they gave him $10 million. I mean, the guy hasn't really shown, right? Now, granted, a lot of that is due to injury. You're on your third quarterback with Trevor Siemian, an old-timer at this point. I mean, realistically, you think this team wins three more games the rest of the way?
No. I'll take the under on three.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's an uphill battle for Sean Payton. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to the Giants. They have a big ball game against Tampa Bay. Also, look at Chicago and Detroit coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network. You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through the breakdowns for week number 12, also recapping week number 11 right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz. We talked about the Giants briefly. Now, I just want to get into this game quickly tonight, George. against Tampa Bay. They're 11-point dogs. They stepped up last year as a 13-point underdog, lost the ball game in the East Rutherford by 2 points, 27-25. Saquon's back. Danny Dimes on the road. Tampa Bay coming off a 10-point loss last week to Washington. I lean to the Giants here, but I don't love this ball game because I could see Tampa Bay stepping up at home and blowing them out. But I'm going to take the generous 11 points on Monday night in this matchup.
I'm going to do the same here. And I feel the same way as you, by the way. I do not love it. Giants are coming off a bye. They're about as healthy as they've been all season. It's an interesting spot here. And Tampa Bay is not so healthy, right? No Antonio Brown. Gronk, I think, is going to play, but we'll see what kind of workload he can have here. Tampa's probably an angry team. Yeah, right. They've had some problems of late. They're not playing all that well. But there's an opening again, maybe for them. I guess to get back on track here, get the Giants team. Giants likely not to have, what is it, Logan Ryan, who's also probably out with COVID. Didn't hear if he passed if he had a negative test yesterday. He would need 2 to 24 hours to play tonight. So I don't think he's going to play. So that hurts them a little bit. But Barkley's back. Galladay's back. Tony should be well rested here. He should be back. So we'll see. I think Andrew Thomas, the left tackle, should be back as well. There's also a couple of interesting stats here. Brady has failed to cover in his last 9 primetime games. Last 9 games that started later than 7 p.m., he's failed to cover here. Interesting little stat there. I'll take that. Another fun stat here. Brady already has as many touchdown passes in his 40s as Bart Starr had in his career. And with 2 tonight, he'll pass Roger Staubach. Think about it. Think of how much the game has changed. That with 2 touchdown passes tonight, Brady will have more career touchdown passes in his 40s than Roger Staubach will have had in his career.
All right, I have a deeper trivia question. How many listeners, okay, do you think know who Bart Starr and Roger Staubach are? About 3?
Both?
You think? Yeah.
Both. I'm going to give our listeners more credit than that. Credit than that. You say they know. Maybe they can't name what team Bart Starr played for. Well, Roger Staubach's a Cowboy. No. I have to think they do know him. But I'll say 25%.
No, I don't know. Well, we'll see. I beg to differ. I mean, we're talking gamblers. We're talking millennials. We're talking people that know TikTok. They don't know Bart Starr. They don't know the great Roger Staubach. But that is an amazing feat. It scares me, though, that stat is out there because people now are going to hammer the Giants in this ballgame just based off of that statistic, and it is a little bit scary. That's why I say I am a little hesitant. I could see this game going south in a big way should Tampa Bay jump up early in this matchup. But deeper question about New York. If they do drop this game, season done? I mean, no shot for them to get back in terms of potential wild card. They really don't have an identity this year. Saquon's been hurt for much of the year. I get that. And they have shown glimpses with Tony when they're healthy. But Danny Dimes has to show and prove that he's the guy, right? This is his statement this year. He's got to prove that he can lead this team, that he is the quarterback of the future. We know Gettleman really attached his cart to this team, right? He built it to win now, supposedly. Well, right now, another disappointing season, and all the pressure falls not just on Gettleman. It does fall on Daniel Jones to say, hey, is he the guy, or are we moving on from him after 4 years?
Oh, I agree with everything you said on both parts, by the way. Do I think the Giants can get in the playoff hunt? I don't. Only because, while we can make it out, if they win tonight, they have the same number of losses as the Eagles, who I think can get in. But their schedule is brutal. Their schedule is not easy. Right? They play, obviously, they got Tampa Bay tonight. They play Philadelphia next week, then Miami, then the Chargers, then Dallas, then Philadelphia again. All right, your last 2 against Chicago and Washington. How are they winning enough for those games to get the hunt here? And they're behind everybody. All right, they're behind everybody. They're behind Philadelphia. Hell, they're behind Washington. You're behind New Orleans. You're behind Carolina. You're behind Minnesota. You're behind the San Francisco 49ers. I know. Giants are done. I think what you said in your second half there is so true. The rest of the season, they don't want to admit this, but the rest of the season is about Daniel Jones. Is he your quarterback of the future? Is he? Yeah. You got 2 first-round picks next year. And right now, I think they're both top 10 picks right now. You got to figure out, do I need a quarterback? Because like the Eagles, if you decide to, you got to either package, you're probably going to have to package those picks to move up to get the quarterback you want. And I think the Eagles are going to stay with Hurts, by the way, so they'll be able to use their three number ones for other options there. But the Giants, they don't know yet. So, yeah, I think I like what you said here. The last seven games are about Daniel Jones.
Yeah, well, let's turn our attention to Detroit, because this team had another close loss yesterday. They wound up covering with Tim Boyle as the starting quarterback on the road against Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. I didn't think
it could
be any worse. I didn't think it could be. I did not think this game could be any worse. I was dead wrong in terms of my breakdown about the over. It was the dead under. Boyle was absolutely pathetic. What was even worse was that Baker Mayfield and that Cleveland offense couldn't attack Detroit early and often. I mean, I was amazed about that. They played right into their hand, pedestrian type of victory. Cleveland gets the win at home, doesn't get the cover. And now you look at both teams right now. Detroit, can they get a win, in your opinion, the rest of the way? They play Chicago upcoming on a short week. They've played two very close games, right? Almost got the victory in Pittsburgh, covered. Almost get the victory in Cleveland, cover. Could they cover Thursday night, more importantly, against a banged-up Chicago team with Dutch Dalton, Andy Dalton back at the helm after Justin Fields bruised his rib yesterday?
Oh, God, I can't believe we have to watch this game at 12:30.
Oh, stop. It's football. It's Thanksgiving. You got to enjoy
it. It's Tim Boyle versus Andy Dalton. I can't believe I have to watch this game. This is prop heaven. All right, this is one of the guys we have a million props to eat while, you know, my hors d'oeuvres before the big Thanksgiving meal here. Tim Boyle. I assume it might be Boyle. Maybe Goff. Even if it's Goff, I don't care. I don't think Fields will play Thursday. And he's got the bruised ribs. They haven't really announced anything about his prognosis. I think it was next Sunday he could play, put a flak jacket on him and all. But I think they might protect him in this game. So once again, I don't want to watch this game. Can they, if they don't win, Joe, Minnesota, Denver, Arizona, at Atlanta, at Seattle, Green Bay at home. Boy, if you don't win this game, I don't think you're winning a game. I mean, once again, that Green Bay game in Week 18, maybe that means nothing to Green Bay. It is in Detroit. You know, like I said, maybe it means nothing. But other than that, where do we see a win here? I know Seattle looks pathetic right now, and that game might mean nothing to Seattle. Same thing with the game at Atlanta. But those games are on the road. I don't know if Detroit can beat either one of those teams on the road. You know, so I don't know, Joe. I don't know if they win a game here. I think they might have to enjoy that tie they had versus Pittsburgh if they can't win Thursday. I think Thursday by far, short week at home, Thanksgiving is the bad team. Thursday by far at home is your best chance to win. And I like it with maybe Allen Robinson's out again for Chicago. We don't know about that. You know, that being said, tough time betting on Detroit. I won't bet on Chicago until I find out for sure about Fields, though.
Well, I will say this about last year. Last year, Detroit got abused by Houston and Deshaun Watson. It was an over. This total is set at FanDuel at 41.5 at -115. Juice to the over, which I find amazing, because both teams are pathetic in terms of moving the football, and yet the books have established that the over potentially could be the play. So they might suck me in again on this ball game here to the over. I can't believe I'm saying that early on. I would take Detroit. I don't have any confidence in Nagy. I don't care. I mean, think about this. Backup quarterback, you had the guy, Andy Dalton. This was supposed to be your guy at the start of the year. Couldn't even beat Huntley and the crew on a backup quarterback in your house. You were catching five and a half at the start of the week. You covered, but you couldn't cover and win the ball game outright. You lose 16-13. Now they're headed in the wrong direction. The writing's on the wall for Nagy in 2022. You're Dallas Cowboys, by the way. Pitiful performance, George, on the road as a 2.5-point underdog against Pat Mahomes in Kansas City. That defense for Kansas City, opportunistic. They forced the interception right before the half. We saw C.D. Lamb go down. Zeke Elliott was hurt early on. Can they bounce back in a big way and knock off Derek Carr and the Las Vegas Raiders that got abused by Broadway Joe Burrow and Cincinnati yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the Cowboys right now, are you an optimist or a pessimist? Okay, if you're an optimist, well, you know what? They've lost three games. You know, the Denver one, they got destroyed. Other than that, they lost to last year's Super Bowl teams on the road by a combined 12 points. All right, so that's your optimist. Your pessimist is they're in trouble. All right, Cooper is definitely out this week. Lamb likely out this week with the concussion. I don't know if he can go. I doubt he can pass concussion protocol by Thursday at 4:30. That seems unlikely. Tyron Smith, I think he returns on Thursday, but we thought he was going to return yesterday. He did not. Randy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence still out on Thursday. So they're in trouble here. Now, yes, every one of those players I mentioned could be back for the Thursday after. And matter of fact, I would expect they're all back for the Thursday after. But it's a big game for Dallas. Because if you beat the Raiders on Thursday, yeah, you're fine. Now you're 8-3. No one's complaining there. You beat the Saints, you're 9-3. And those are two teams you should beat. But haven't Denver and the Chiefs sort of shown you how to beat the Cowboys? You know, play their receivers off the top, man-to-man off the top. Don't let them get free of releases off the line here. It disrupts the time here. Dak has proven over and over again in big games he doesn't get it done. He just doesn't, especially on the road here. So we'll see here.
We shall see. Dallas 7-point favorites right now on FanDuel at minus 115. Total set at 51, juice to the under at minus 115. Coming right back with the Bills and Saints.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Network. You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Buffalo thought they had a shot against Indianapolis yesterday. They were seven and a half point favorites on the FanDuel Sportsbook for much of the week, and then all of a sudden, Carson Wentz and Jonathan Taylor ran into town, and they ran at will on that front seven of Buffalo, dominating the Bills at home 41-15. Josh Allen, a pedestrian 209 yards through the air, two touchdowns, two interceptions, but it was all Jonathan Taylor. George, you had been mentioned. Jonathan Taylor, get him involved in terms of the offense. Well, he's been stepping up in a big way. 185 rushing yards on the afternoon, four touchdowns on the ground, added one in terms of receiving. Just a dynamic performance by this Indianapolis team. They're starting to come into form. Secondary played very well. Could this be a wild card contender as the month of November into December progresses? Because if you can run the football and force turnovers, you have a good shot to be a playoff team and, more importantly, win games on the road.
Agreed. Right now they're 6-5. So they're not quite, are they quite there for a wild card? No, they're a half game out because the Chargers at 6-4. The Bengals at 6-4, and the Bills are at 6-4. So, if they get another win or the Bills get that loss, then they would win the tiebreaker. Buffalo could be in trouble here, but not making the playoffs the way New England's playing. Amazing. Just amazing here. There was nothing, I thought, more disheartening yesterday than watching the Bills try and stop Jonathan Taylor. They just couldn't do it, and that's so demoralizing for a defense when you can't stop the run, especially for a team that doesn't have a great passing game at all. So Bills might have trouble on two fronts here. Now, listen, Jonathan Taylor is probably the best running back remaining in the NFL, pure running back. All right, now Derrick Henry is gone for the season. So there's something to be said for that, but to not be able to stop him, especially when, the passing game isn't, I like Mike Pittman, but it's not like this is a dynamic passing game. Oh, my God, Carson Wentz can throw the ball down the field. The game plan had to be to stop Taylor, and you couldn't do it. For a defense that's been playing very well, even with all the other problems, the defense have been playing well. So I thought it was very disheartening yesterday, because if a defense is starting to let up now, oh, boy. That's not going to work because we know the offense right now still has its issues here. Now, your question was, can they make the playoffs, the Indianapolis Colts? I don't think they can catch Tennessee because although they're only two games behind them, they lost both. So they're really both matchups to Tennessee. So they're really three games behind Tennessee. They have to finish ahead of them in the standings. That's going to be rough here. They got Tampa Bay this week. I guess we'll find out more about Tampa Bay tonight. Then they get the break with Houston. Then you get New England. And New England also looks like world beaters. Then you got Arizona. Who knows what Vegas will be in week 17. So we'll see here. Do I think they get in? Yeah, of course you can. You're only a half game out, but it's not going to be easy. They don't have a Philadelphia schedule. Right? They don't quite have the New York Giants schedule, but it's a rough schedule here. There'll be a lot of teams that are still in the mix here. So if I had to bet, I would say no, but it certainly wouldn't be anything I'd put money on. I think it's going to be that close.
No on FanDuel for Indianapolis. Get you plus 110. If you say yes, they're minus 138. So that just gives you an idea about where the book has the Colts after that dominating performance. When you look at their shot to win the AFC Championship now, they've jumped dramatically. They're 20-1 shots. And on the flip side, when you just look at overall performance in terms of the AFC Championship, at the start of Week 11, Buffalo was still the clear-cut frontrunner at plus 260 after they got blown out and Kansas City took care of business at home against Dak Prescott in Dallas. All of a sudden, they're the frontrunners again at plus 330 to hoist the AFC. We thought it would be Tennessee, right? Tennessee was the hottest team in terms of the NFL. They won five straight. They dominated the best teams in the AFC and NFC, and all of a sudden, here comes lowly Houston as a 10.5-point dog, and they knock them off yesterday in Nashville. All of a sudden, Tennessee now to win the AFC Championship 7-1. So that just gives you an odds on about where these teams are and how it fluctuates from week to week. Now, when we look at the Bills right now, I mentioned they're on the road. This is a typical get right spot for them. They're 4.5-point favorites against a beat up offense in Trevor Siemian, as good as in terms of the physicality that you want to mention for New Orleans in terms of run support. They got abused by Jalen Hurts. This is an opportunity for Buffalo on a short week to get right. There's no margin for error here. You can't limp through and walk through the motions in this ballgame, laying a short number of 4.5 on the road. I'm going to take my chances, but I think Josh Allen breaks out with a dynamic performance.
Now, I'm with you here. I'm going to go with Buffalo as well on Thanksgiving night, but I don't know about a dynamic performance. New Orleans does have a good defense, not someone a team you're generally going to throw up and down the field with, but I think, are we starting to see them wilt? Mentioned this earlier. Are we starting to see this team wilt now over what been a lot of pressure on the defense? Got to keep them in games. We don't have any offensive weapons. We're not going to score 1,000 points here. So I do wonder that, and maybe Buffalo can take advantage of that. My problem with Buffalo is this. You know, they don't have a run game, at least not a run game that you're afraid of. Right, no one's afraid of Zach Moss, they're just not. They're not afraid of these guys. So a lot of pressure is on Josh Allen to move the ball here. Lattimore is going to be on Diggs, I think, for most of this game. But Lattimore, all of a sudden, he's not the lockdown corner he was the first 6-7 games of the season. Really, ever since he slipped in that night game against Seattle and DK Metcalf had the 80-yard touchdown, he hasn't been the same player for whatever reason. You're not the same player there. I think Buffalo wins the game. I do, but it won't be easy. It's in New Orleans. You know what dome's going to be loud there. But I think Buffalo gets back on track here, and they better. Because, Joe, if they were to lose this game, Buffalo, they play New England, Tampa, Carolina, New England, the four games after that. Yikes. They would be in a lot of trouble for not making the playoffs.
You better look, or you take a look at Josh Allen's rushing performance, because they couldn't contain Jalen Hurts. He had 3 rushing touchdowns in that ballgame. This could be an opportunity for Josh Allen to get right on the ground. Test that defense out. Let's see if he could stress them on the perimeter. Let's see if he can account for them in terms of an extra player in the box, and then that could open up the passing game. I do want to see him utilize his legs in this ballgame, because that's the way you have to stress the New Orleans defense, just the way Jalen Hurts did. And if you do that, then Singletary, then Moss, then Breida, then they can get their yards on the ground. So that has to be a game plan for McDermott and the offensive staff heading into this matchup. Do exactly what Philadelphia did. You're on the road. You want to be able to run the football. What better way than with your star quarterback? Again, I think they should be able to run it well. I don't care that New Orleans is at home. I know they beat Tampa Bay in the Dome, but we're still talking about a journeyman quarterback in Trevor Siemian with a banged-up Alvin Kamara. I mean, at the end of the day, who's he going to go to in that offense? You know, Callaway didn't come on until basically the game was over. We didn't see any of those wide receivers really step up. Ingram put the ball on the ground yesterday, so I still think it favors Buffalo. It was a 4.5-point number. Some money did come in on New Orleans as the night progressed. How about Tennessee, though, George? Tennessee, we talked about it. You think there was a potential look ahead? I always talk about it in college because they are college kids. But in terms of the professional in the NFL, was there any shot that maybe Ryan Tannehill and the Titans took Houston for granted yesterday?
I don't know, maybe. I mean, how could they've lost now to Houston and the Jets? How is that possible? I mean, really, someone has to explain this to me, how they can lose to both of those teams. Are we just giving them too much credit? They're not that good a team. Is it the injuries? You know, Derrick Henry's gone. Julio Jones was out. A.J. Brown missed half the game again due to injuries. So maybe that's it. Listen, any team would struggle when you lose your top three weapons there. They don't have any other weapons. Right, even Marcus Johnson, the guy who we were banking on more fantasy-wise, or maybe more prop-wise, also was out. Right, he got hurt with the hamstring early on. So, what are we thinking here? Is the bottom line? They just say, "Oh, we're 8-2. It's not a big deal. We can take this one lightly anyway." I don't know what to think of this game. I think I'm going to go with a combination of everything. So, I need this team to get healthy first of all. You know, we'll see what happens. The run game's not scaring anybody with Foreman and AP. Like they're jacks. That's all they are. You know, they're not going to get you anything. The passing game has to work here. With all those injuries, it's not going to. Now, they get New England this week. A team that's hot as anybody. And then they get the bye week. And then they get Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, San Fran, Miami, Houston. It's not the hardest schedule by far. It's not the easiest either. But they'll be okay. And I still think they'll win the division. I just can't see them. I mean, for Indianapolis to catch them, Indianapolis have to maybe lose once, no more than twice to the rest of the season. And then once again, Tennessee can only win twice. I don't know if I see that happening. But well, Tennessee, they're not the team we thought they were. I don't think they're the best team in the AFC. I know some do. I don't.
Well, that defense stepped up. I mean, they only allowed 190 total yards to Houston. You lose the ball game by 9? You convert 6 of 15 third down conversions? I mean, how does that happen? You score 13 points. You put up 420 total yards. And you lose the ball game by 9? When you held them to basically under 200 yards in an NFL game? I mean, they still don't have a rushing attack with Derrick Henry. They did pound the rock for 110 on the ground. Peterson had 40. Hilliard had 35. Foreman had 35. All right, great. You combine it. It looks like, okay, they put 110 yards on the ground. But you're in predictable third down situations. That allowed Houston to get some pressure on Tannehill. You have no outside weapons. Now you go on the road, like you mentioned, to New England. 5.5-point underdogs on FanDuel. I like them in this spot because I think the defense will keep them in it. I don't know if New England's going to be able to just abuse them the way they abuse Cleveland and some of the other teams. I'm going to take my chances early on. I'm going to back Tannehill in this spot. +5.5, -108 on FanDuel. Also like them +205 on the money line. And I think this game could go under the 44 and a hook.
I'm there with you on the under. I agree. I think it's going to be more of a 90s football game. It's sort of a slogfest there. I think they both played not to make mistakes. We know Belichick's not going to take chances and risks, right? He hasn't done that all season long. He sort of protected Mac Jones as much as he can. I haven't agreed with it, but then again, it's worked out, so maybe it's not the worst thing here. So I'm with you on this one. Give me the under. As far as the game, it's not one I'm going to bet money on. Too close to call, but I lean towards New England right now.
Really? You're hot on New England. I know you were hot on them. They do have a couple of extra days of preparation playing on Thursday night after their domination against Atlanta. So does that benefit them in this matchup? Tennessee's going to have to run the football to some way. I think you're more aggressive in terms of Tannehill first and second down. You open up that front seven. You can run the football a little bit later in the matchup should you have a lead on the road. We'll see how that plays out. Houston, on the other hand, they're 3-point favorites against the New York Jets. Dandy Joe Flacco wasn't the answer against the Miami Dolphins, although he put up 17 points on that defense. Should Houston be favored over anybody this year? I mean, I'm still in amazement that they stepped up yesterday and won the ball game outright. Covering's one thing. They won the ball game outright on the road against the hottest team in the NFL, which is amazing. Now here come the Jets. I'm going to back the Jets in the spot. Don't love it. But you're going to give me 3 points, -120 on FanDuel. Early lean to the New York Jets in this matchup.
Now, that's why I'm laughing in the background here. I mean, how could Houston be 3? I mean, how much of an embarrassment is this if you're a Jet fan that you're getting 3 points from the Houston Texans? I mean, wow. Just wow. Now, I fully expect Zach Wilson to be the quarterback in this game. I think that was the game plan. He had to give him an extra week here. I think the Jets was were idiotic to start Joe Flacco yesterday. That being said, I understand why the book is going with Houston, by the way, because I don't know how Zach Wilson's going to play on Sunday. He may be terrible again. But I'm with you. I'm not going to bet the game, but I would lean towards the Jets.
And I would lean towards the over 44.5. It's juiced to the under at minus 115. Want to take a shot? It's minus 105 to the over. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network. You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, recapping week number 11, quick look to week number 12. We talked in the intro about Pittsburgh and that loss last night in the last 2 minutes of that ballgame. They now go on the road, George, to face a red-hot Cincinnati team. They came out of the bye week, dominated Las Vegas as basically a 1.5, 2-point favorite on the road, 32-13. Joe Mixon with a huge performance. Cincinnati defeated Pittsburgh at the end of last year, you remember, by 10 points. They now are 3.5-point favorites on FanDuel, minus 110 either way, 45 and a hook. I just don't have any confidence in Pittsburgh. I think this team is toast, cooked, whatever you want to say. Big Ben's done. Cincinnati, I think, wins and covers this number.
Now, listen, I agree. As a whole, I agree with you about Pittsburgh. But, you know, you had to like what they showed last night. I mean, they played that game with no T.J. Watt, you know, no Joe Hayden, no Minkah Fitzpatrick. All were out. So they showed a lot of heart last night. I think they're a bad team. I don't think they're going to get the playoffs. I think they are done. Ben, blah, blah, blah. I agree. That being said, Cincinnati's a weird team, too. I don't know if I can trust them at all. They're 6-4, yet they have the best plus differential in the AFC North at plus 52. Ravens are only plus 17. Steelers and Browns are negative here. Can the Bengals pull this off here? Yeah, I think they can. What I like about the Bengals the rest of the season, by the way, lots of home games. They only play two more road games, at Denver, at Cleveland. Other than that, everything's at home, but it's a tough schedule. Pittsburgh, Chargers, 49ers. I mentioned at Denver, Baltimore, KC, at Cleveland. Ouch! I mean, damn. You know, it's about being done no favors there, but I'm with you. I'll take Cincinnati over Pittsburgh, but they're another team, Joe. As soon as I get on board with the Bengals, they bungle. You know, they do what they always do, and they cost me some cash here. So I'm careful about it, but I don't have much faith in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, last time Pittsburgh was on the road, they did eke out a 15-10 victory over Baker Mayfield and the crew as an underdog. For George Kurtz, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll be here throughout the week, breaking down week number 12. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
One of the biggest challenges of earning a degree as a military veteran is transitioning your goals and experiences to your next phase in life. National University gets it. As a veteran-founded Yellow Ribbon School, they offer post-9/11 GI Bill acceptance, dedicated military support and advising services, and credit for your military experience. That's why 30% of their students are military-affiliated. NU, education that serves those who served.